Let us take a moment and reflect. Where are you right now? What's on your mind? What's in your heart? What are you struggling with? What things come to mind? Take a moment and think. I'm guessing for some of us, we're wondering, when am I going to be done? We might, for others, think, what's for dinner tonight? Or maybe reflecting on how beautiful the day was, or some of the challenges we faced, or some of the good things in the day. Lots of stuff is running through our minds. This is where most of us live. We live in a world of the present moment, a world in which we have lots of things that are constantly in our minds and hearts that we wrestle with. But I want to take you a step deeper. Let's go to the next level. This is a level we don't like to be in very often. It's a level that can make us uncomfortable. The next level is this place where we deal with things that are much more pressing. This can be things that last a lot longer, or things that are more distressful, like finances, or big house problems. Maybe they're family issues. Maybe they're things that we personally, like health issues, or mental issues, or relational issues. There's lots of things in this area. Where are you in that one? What things have you not spent time with, that you're wrestling with, that are causing anxiety and worry? Remember St. Paul's words today. Have no anxiety. Have no concern at all. Kind of a bold statement. But nevertheless, we need to be here for a moment. We need to feel that anxiety. Because there's something else at this level too we often don't see. This is Thanksgiving and joy. There's good things that happen. There's things that are bigger than just the present moment. And we often miss them because we're so anxious about things. The politics, the fears of economics, all these things take so much time and energy. So much of our mental space. But we're going to go one step deeper. This is a place where most of us don't even want to dip our finger in. It's so uncomfortable. This is the place where we wrestle with who we are. What am I really dealing with? Identity, issues of ourselves. This is where we get to spiritual ills. This is where we get to the challenges of the soul. This is a very deep place few of us ever explore because it's just so weird, so uncomfortable. So much of it kind of roots out of ourselves and makes us not sure what to do with the world. Think about these things like, does God care? Where's my place in the world? What do I do with these things? How do I become a good person? These are big and serious issues. And yet, if you were to take my advice and let yourself just wander into it a little bit. You don't have to dive in. You don't have to like immerse yourself in the chaos of your interior life. You'll notice two really important things. Things that we don't go to this level and we need to know these things. One is pure joy. This is the level of joy. Not just happiness, things like that. A joy that lets us be and have a comfortableness with the world around us. A joy that lets us experience the things anew and not be so worried and anxious. But more importantly, the very depth of that is love. Not a love for each other, not a love in general. This is a very specific kind of love. This is a love that tells us who we are. We were made from love. God made us because of his love. This is a love that tells us what we do. We are made for love, not just to hang out and do things. We have a purpose, and we are made to love. The total depth of our being, the very depth of our soul, teaches us this fundamental reality. We are made from love, to love, and for love. What does that even look like? You know? How many of us have really experienced this to the point where we can like put language to it, put words to it? Well, this is where we get to spend some time today. Think of that first line from our first reading. It's a beautiful line. Let me sing a song of my friend and his vineyard. This isn't someone who's telling us this boring story. It's not some dialogue. This is a song. Songs. Songs tell us something about the core of who we are. They guide us to reflect deeper into the mystery of what we're doing. They bring out more emotions, more excitement than anything else would. So this song teaches us something very valuable. The song starts with hope. The landowner doesn't plant a vineyard thinking, well, I hope it dies, then I have less work to do. No, he plants a vineyard with the hope it produces something. So the song starts with a great hope. This landowner goes out and plants a vineyard. He plants it with the hope that it'll produce and bear a lot of fruit and he'll be wealthy. That's his hope. And then it flips very quickly. It flips to a song of sorrow. a deep sorrow. I have given my life to this vineyard. I have done everything I possibly can to make it produce, and it didn't. Do you feel the sorrow? Do you feel his anxiety, his worry, his concern as the song comes out to us and tells us of this vine, this landowner, this tenant farmer? What is he going to do? The same thing is echoed in today's gospel. Jesus tells this parable about another tenant farmer who he leaves and leases it. And the same thing, he hopes in the tenants, and his hope leads to despair. Such a depth of despair that even his son died in the midst of this. This song is one of very strong tragedy. It's something that should cut us to our core and make us reflect. Am I the tenant farmer? Am I the landowner? Who am I in this story? Because the challenge is, do we produce fruit? Think about it. Do you even know what that means? What does it look like to produce fruit? Clearly, you're not supposed to grow grapes off yourself. That's weird. Don't do that. But that's not the point. What does it mean as a Christian, as a person of faith, to have our lives be cultivated in such a way where we actually bear fruit? So let's play with this in a few different ways. So one of the ways that the most obvious and not very helpful is that our faith, if it's strong enough, makes other people want to believe. That's one form of fruit. Jesus says, make disciples. That's how we make disciples. We let the reality of who we are, that love that God made us to be, bubble up and grow in such a way where it actually ebbs out of us and changes the world around us. This is what calls people into the life of Christ. We live it in such a way where it's like this bubbly feeling that makes people know that God's love is something they experience too. But there's another way. We can also do it with the things of our world. We call it treasures or talents, whatever it might be. The things we're good at that can do stuff. We can also think about as money or things. The challenge we have with this, however, is that things of the world often lead us a different direction. We get tied up with them, and we make them about us. Oh man, if I just had a few more pieces of clothing, I'd be happy. Oh man, if I just had a few more of this, wouldn't I then be happy? Or if I just could go to my workshop and make these wooden things all day long, wouldn't I be happy? Or if I could just have this much wealth, wouldn't I be happy? Let's ask ourselves a more important question. Has it ever worked? I make a point, though. What makes those things work to bring us happiness is not if they're about us. It's if they bear fruit for the sake of God, that we use them for Him, that all these things can be used for God's glory, and then it's not about us. We use them out of the love God gave us to love the world with them. To love God with them. We use them for the sake of God. Now, the one that's the hardest for us is time. Time. The thing we all think we have so little of, and we're kind of right. We're so busy with so many things that our lives are filled with things, especially our time. And we tell ourselves this fundamental lie that we have to root out of our own subconscious. The lie is this: if I get all my stuff done, then I will have time for God. Think about it for a moment. Have we ever gotten our stuff done? I don't. So there's that lie we keep telling ourselves. As long as I get my stuff done, then there's time for God. Let's flip it around. If I make time for God, everything gets done. If I make a space where I encounter God and I know of His love for me so that I'm not anxious and worried, I know He'll take care of it. This is now a fundamental level where we believe in Him. We trust in Him. We know He's going to provide because we put Him first. See how time can be used as a way to trust God. Time can be used as a way to serve God. Time can be an extension of our love for Him, that we're actually giving Him time. This is for you. It's a gift. So let's challenge ourselves. Challenge ourselves by the challenge given by the first reading in our gospel, the challenge of the vineyard. We can produce fruits, lots of them. And the joy is these fruits bring us joy. These fruits bring a certain kind of fruit where now we trust God. We believe in Him. We want Him. We love Him. The more we allow Him into our lives and into each and every aspect, notice how I didn't change any of them, into the aspects, that's where we get the joy we really want. That's where we come to know who we really are. That's where we get to wrestle with the fears and anxieties and realize we don't have to have them, as St. Paul tells us. Instead, we realize that we were made from love, for love, and to love. And this is the cause of our great joy.